Well, I've got some thoughts. About 2 weeks ago, not this past Saturday, but the Saturday before, a number of us were at a meeting in Connecticut for the whole day on basically church security. And it got me to thinking about some spiritual principles where protection is concerned. And guarding. And of course, they're talking about natural things, guarding, you know, a church property, how to do certain things. You know, anybody who's in security, I wrote software for years, and you know, when you're using data in any kind of environment, that, you know, I mean, today, if you work for a corporation, they don't just let you get on a computer. You have to have a username and a password in order to allow you to get something, right? So you have to have some credentials. What are they doing? They're protecting what? Information. And so the same thing that goes along there, you know, you have a bank account. You don't just go to the bank and just get your money, honey. You got money, it's yours, but they're asking for what? They say, before I give it to you, you got to show me some what? Some ID, some credentials, something that proves that you are the person that you say you are, right? And the same thing, this body that we live in has systems in it to protect us. You got an immune system. So there's things that you eat things, you know, and your body protects you against things, right? So there's things in the earth that protect us. You know, same thing. Your home. You may have a home, or you may live in an apartment. Some places, you know, you may have a security system at home. You just don't leave your front door open. Some people have security systems. They arm it. And then now they're more sophisticated. You know, if you even just walk up, it's sending you an email, an alert. It's buzzing your phone. Somebody's there, wants, you know, is at your front door, right? And so anyways, you get my point, that God made us in his image and likeness. That's what Genesis 1:26 says. God made us in his image and likeness. And John 4:24. It says, God is a spirit, and those that worship him in spirit and in truth. So what does that mean? If we're made in his image and likeness, that means, and he's a spirit, that means the real me is what? A spirit. I live in this body. I have this outer shell here, mainly for the purpose of living in this earth. But the real me, if Jesus tarries and I die and I leave this body, then what happens? That means I'm going to go to be with him. And again, you know what the scripture says, that this body is mortal, right? That means it's going to die at some point. And what does it do? It goes into the ground and decays. But what does it say? When Jesus returns, this mortal does what? It's going to put on immortality and to be caught up to meet him in the air. So that means that at some point, this body's going to change. But in the meantime, here's the point I'm trying to make. This real me, this spirit in me, has to be fed. It has to be nurtured. Just like your body, if you don't eat, you know, you find out what happens. You have no what? No strength. You're going to fall flat on your face. And you'll have no strength to do anything. So this spirit man has to be strengthened. It has to be fed. It has to be nurtured. But what I wanted to share today was in just being at that convention and learning some things, that we have to do what? Guard our hearts. Just like we guard natural things, you have to guard this. The real you has to be guarded. You know, we this person that was Deacon Donald was there, and his wife, and a number of us were there, and they went through some, you know, principles, but then at the end he spent probably half an hour to 45 minutes teaching us hand-to-hand methods on disarming someone with a gun or a knife or whatever, you know, those kind of things. And he had been taught by, actually this particular self-defense method was actually designed by the IDF, the Israeli Defense Forces. So it was actually, it's a hand-to-hand kind of method of self-defense. But anyways, we have to protect our hearts, our spirit. And so what gives us access, just take a look at Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. Your new birth gave you access to something. Gave you access to Christ. It gave you access to the promises of God. It gave you access to his eternal life. But just the same way that once you provide certain credentials, it gives you access to something. Romans chapter 5, verse 1 and 2, it says, therefore, being justified, see, there's the key. We have to be justified. How? By faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom, by Christ, by whom, also we have what? Access. It's interesting to go through the Bible and look at all the scriptures that talk about access. So you have access by faith into something. Into what? Into grace. Wherein what? We stand and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. So being in Christ gives me access to his grace. Right? Isn't that wonderful news? Here's a couple of other scriptures. Look at Ephesians chapter 2 and look at verse 18. Just trying to make a point here. Ephesians chapter 2 and look at verse 18. It says here, for through him, this is for through Christ, we both have what? Access. We have access, how? By one Spirit unto the Father. Now, one last scripture here. Let's look at others, but let's look at this. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 11. And actually, verse 12. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 12. It says, in whom, talking about Christ now, who, where are we? We're in him. In whom we have what? Boldness and what? Access. With confidence by the faith of him. So being in Christ has through faith has given me access to his grace. And that gives us what? We have boldness and access in him. So this access has given us access to his provisions, his eternal life. It protects us. It gives us strength. You know, Paul, when he wrote in 2 Corinthians, I believe it's chapter 12, he started to write about all of the tests and trials he was going through. And he said, you know, he was complaining to the Lord, you know, and that he wanted to quit and give up. And the Lord said to him, what did he say? He said, my grace is sufficient. And he said, it is made perfect in what? In weakness. And then Paul turned around and said, I rejoice in these sufferings and things I'm going through because in my weakness he makes me strong. So we have access to God's grace that does what? Empowers us when we're weak, when we're faced with things in life that we don't know how to handle. It's being in Christ that gives us this access to his power. Amen. So this inner man is eternal. It's a spirit, and it needs to be developed. It needs to be guarded, right? That's key. And it needs to be strengthened with what? Spiritual food. Let's look at a couple of scriptures. Ephesians, you were there in Ephesians 3, verse 12. Take a look at verse 16. See, talking about we have access to his grace. Through faith, it says that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be what? Strengthened with what? With might. How? By his spirit, but where? In the inner man. Where's that inner man? That's that spirit. That's the real you. So you're strengthened in here by his spirit in here. And that word might, strengthened with might, that word might is the Greek word dunamis or dunamis, however you pronounce that, but it really means miracle working power. That's God's name. His miracle working power is what? We're strengthened with that by his spirit. And then 2 Corinthians chapter 4, let's look at verse 16 and 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16 and 17 and 18. It says, for which cause we faint not, but though our what? Our outward man perisheth. That just means, it doesn't mean sickness. I think this is the thing we need to make sure we understand. When it says perishing, it just means that we're getting older, right? We're getting older, you're getting slower maybe, you're getting grayer, you get, you know, all those things that show that you're getting older. It don't mean you're sick and diseased. It just means you're getting older, right? And but what does it also say? Yet the inward man, let's talk about this spirit. The inward man, again, is what? Is what? Renewed day by day. This, and then it continues. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Look at verse 18. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are what? Not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal. Thank God. Right? Things that we see and go through are temporal, but the things which are not seen are what? Eternal. Praise God. So this inward man needs to be renewed day by day. It needs to be strengthened. It needs to be fed. It needs to be exercised. Just like how many of us enjoy to exercise? Some of us do, and some of us don't. So those that do, you know the benefits of exercising, and those that don't, well, you never knew anyway. So anyways, whenever you have to run or do something, then you find out the benefits of not exercising. But you get my point. We need to exercise, and the benefits of exercising this outer person, same thing. When we exercise, we feed. And what are we talking about exercising? It just means that you act upon the word of God. You act upon something that you've read and you see in the word of God. You act upon it. Now, let's turn over. Turn over to Proverbs 4, verse 20 through 23. And I wanted to look at this in light of what we're talking about here and sharing, guarding our hearts. And I'll read from a couple of different translations, but I'm going to read from the King James first. It says in Proverbs 4, verse 20, my son, attend to my words. This is talking about you know, feeding and getting this spiritual nourishment. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them where? In the midst of thine heart. That's this inward man it's talking about, in the heart, the spirit. For they are life unto those that find them, and what? Health. Most margins will say medicine. Isn't that wonderful that we have spiritual medicine that we can take? There's natural medicines that can help us. But this here, this spiritual medicine, it says what? You find me a natural medicine, some of those people that work for the drug industry, if they can get, they got a medicine that can cure all flesh, boy, ain't happening. Or a lot of we know of one, right? But this says here that this word is health to all of our flesh. Then what does it say? Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it, your heart, are the issues of life. Now that may seem, you know, not clear, but let me read some other translations here. The New Living Translation, it says here in verse 23, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. That's a little clearer. That, and what does that mean? When people feed upon information, just take what's going on right now. People feed enough on the news, it determines the course of their life. What are they doing? They're in a panic. And they're doing things that don't make any sense. That determines their thinking and the course of their action, the course of their life. So you see people that feed and feed and feed, they get panicky. Right? So that's the point, that we need to guard our heart so that we make wise choices here in life, right? This is the complete Jewish translation. Listen to this one. It says, above everything else, this is verse 23, above everything else, guard your heart, for it is the source of life's consequences. So the consequence in life, people are blaming God, people are blaming society, people are blaming things, and it is your own thinking that causes you to make some choices about some things. And so that's not to say that society is not pressuring or doing things, but you don't have to respond to it. That's the point. It's not to say that there aren't bad things going on in the earth and that they don't necessarily might not knock on your door, but doesn't mean you have to respond to it. You can respond in God's way. Right? This one is the Good News Translation. I like this probably the best. In verse 23, be careful how you think, your life is shaped by your thoughts. That to me kind of just spells it up a lot. When King James says, keep your heart, says in the King James, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. That word issues, when you look it up, you just look it up in a concordance, that word means extremities or boundaries. That Hebrew word means boundaries or extremities. So who sets the boundaries and extremities in your life? You do. You do. Now, it doesn't mean society may not come knocking, but they don't make your choices for you. You do. You do. You decide. And so, I like that translation. Be careful how you think. Your life is shaped by your thoughts. So we need to guard our hearts. That's our point here. And you need to think about what you feed on. and how you talk and how you think. The scripture in Romans 12:2, it says, "Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." So one of the things is the condition of our heart will affect our body. The condition of your heart will affect your body, affects your thinking, and your thinking can affect choices that you make. One of the things that, you know, when we say that, John 6:63. Let's look at this scripture verse. When we talk about the condition of the heart affects the body, look at this scripture here. This is Jesus speaking. John 6:63. It says, "It is the Spirit that does what? Quickeneth." That's your spirit man. It says, it is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are what? Spirit, and they are life. So the life of God comes from this heart, and it affects this natural body. Let's turn one more scripture. I don't have that written here, but let's go to Romans chapter 8. That's another scripture that comes to mind, Romans chapter 8. And let's look at verse 12, I believe it is. Ten and eleven. In Romans chapter 12, it says, "And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness." What is the verse 11? "But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also do what? Quicken what? Your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you." So this heart will quicken this mortal body by his Spirit. That's why it's so important that we keep feeding on the Word of God, because it will quicken and give life to this mortal body. It may have some symptoms in it, but boy, the Spirit of God can quicken my heart and cause it to give life to this mortal body. Isn't that good news? That's good news for me. Amen. Now, here's another scripture verse, Matthew 15:18. Matthew 15:18. This is another way of just seeing here how the heart can actually affect the body. This is Jesus speaking here. I'll wait till you get there. It says, "But those things," Matthew 15:18, it says, "But those things which proceed out of the what? The mouth do what? Come from where? The heart." And what do? They defile the man. So what comes out of this heart, what comes out of this inward being, can actually defile or affect this body, affect our soul. That's why it's important that we don't embrace the stuff that's being perpetrated in the world that's not of God, because it's not going to benefit you. You need to get his word down in your heart, and you need to speak the blessings of God over my life. Society may put some roadblocks up in your life and say, "You can't do that." God never said that. See, guard your heart. He says, what does it say? Guard your thoughts, because your life is shaped by your thoughts. If you say you can't, Most times you won't. You won't do it. And so things may say no, but you're going to say no. God says yes. For me, I'm his child. Society can turn around and say, you will absolutely get sick. And say, you know, what do they say? 90%. I said, well, it ain't me. I'm protected. I'm protected. I'm protected. How am I protected? The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus quickens me and gives me life. Life to this flesh. Now, it doesn't mean you do stupid things. You've got the Word of God and wisdom to show you what to do, where to go. But you don't have to fear. That's the point. Now, let's turn over to Proverbs 18. Proverbs 18 and verse 14. Talking about guarding our hearts here. Proverbs 18 and verse 14. I'm going to read from two different translations. One from the King James and one from the Amplified and New Living. And really it talks about our hearts. It says, the spirit of man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit who can bear? Wounded, that just means broken or wounded. Now listen to this in the Amplified translation, the same verse, Proverbs 18:14. The strong spirit of a man sustains him in bodily pain or trouble, but a weak and broken spirit, who can raise up or bear? So what's going to get us through an attack or something that we're going through, a problem? What's going to get us through that? A strong spirit. A strong spirit. This is the New Living Translation. The NLT. Same verse of Scripture. It says, the human spirit, talking about this inward man, the human spirit can endure a sick body, but who can bear it if the spirit is crushed? Talking about being weak. So this is why it is so important that we guard this heart. We protect it at all cost. We some of us are very particular about what we put in our mouth, you know. We guard our food. Some of us really get protective when it comes to food. Get away from my food. Don't touch my food. But then you don't think about what you read, what you listen to, what you watch, what you feed on. You're less protective where that's concerned. You just kind of let anything come in that ear gate and eye gate. And we need to just think about that. What am I feeding on? Is this giving me strength? You know, we all know this. You eat the wrong kinds of food. You don't get sleep. You don't get the proper nutrition and sleep. What happens? It will affect your immune system eventually. And you don't even realize it until you're sneezing and you don't feel good and all that. But it's been going on for a while. It may take a month. It may take a while. And then you get exposed to something and your system is not strong enough to fight it off. You're susceptible, right? Well, it's the same thing spiritually. A lot of times we're running on empty and we don't know it. And then something happens and you don't have the strength spiritually to combat it or fight it. It doesn't have to be sickness. It could be a problem in life. It could be a financial problem. It could be, you know, people go through marriage problems. They go through, children go through various things, you know. I mean, just young people can go through things. Going to school, dealing with other class members going through just stuff. And if your spirit isn't strong, you're just like, I don't know what to do. I mean, if you just look at it, I looked at this recently, a couple of months ago, just looking at the rates of suicide in the United States. In 1 year, it was like 40,000. That's crazy. So there's a problem. You know, they talk about, you know, I'm not making light of it. You know, they're talking about all this issue with coronavirus. Anybody ever look up the stats on just the flu? Just the flu. In the United States, every year. And they have a vaccination for it. Every year is somewhere close to either 50, 60,000 people succumb and die because of the flu. And I'm not making light of this, what's going on now, but it's just got people in a pandemonium over stuff that, and then you have suicide rates that are off the charts. And so what does that mean? That means that the spirit of a person is weak. And that's the part of us that needs to be strengthened and nurtured and exercised. So that when those things come, that's what Jesus spoke of in the Gospels when he said, "Let me show you a wise man who built his house upon a rock and dug down deep and built his foundation on a rock. And when the winds came and blew, the house withstood it." What was it built on? The Word of God. And then what does it say? "Let me show you a foolish person who built their house on sand. And when the same stuff came, it blew it away." It had no foundation. So just things that we have to think about and to consider. Certainly, we can go through it if we have a strong spirit. Amen. I'm just going to just quick read these. Proverbs 17:22. What does it say? "A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a what? A broken spirit. A broken spirit dries the bones." The Amplified of that says, "A happy heart is good medicine, and a cheerful mind works healing, but a broken spirit dries up the bones." I like actually the New Living Translation the best. It says, "A cheerful heart is good medicine, but a broken spirit saps a person's strength." Yeah, you see that in society. No joy. They're just worried about everything. No joy. I mean, what is the scripture? Nehemiah says, "The joy of the Lord is our strength." So we can be at peace and we can have joy. We can have it. So as we're sharing, the issue really is maintaining a strong spirit. We need to have our spirit strengthened. Let's turn over to Colossians. I want to kind of wrap up with this here. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 11. Actually, I'm going to just look at verses 9, 10, and 11. But Colossians chapter 1, I'm going to read this from the King James. It says, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in what? The knowledge of God." See, now, before I read verse 11, go back to verse 9. What does it say? It says that he desired that they might be filled with what?
Knowledge.
The knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. So he's highlighting here the importance of knowledge, the knowledge of the word of God. And then in verse 10 again, he says it. You want to be fruitful in every good work and doing what? Increasing in what? The word of God, the knowledge of God. And then what does it go on? It says, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with what?
Joyfulness.
Joyfulness. So we can see, we can see here the importance of the word of God, that we can be strengthened from the word, strengthened. What the word of God is, the power of God. And so we're going to be strengthened with that power as we take the word of God, take it into our hearts. Let me read a couple of other translations here. This is the Bible in basic English. It says, full of strength in the measure of the great power of his glory, so that you may undergo all troubles with joy. That means we don't have to look, we don't have to have a sad face going through things. Why? Because I'm strengthened inside, in my inner man, knowing that he's with me. He's going to see me through. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He won't forsake me. Hallelujah. The New Living Translation says, we also pray that you will be strengthened with all his glorious power, so you will have all the endurance and patience you need and may be filled with joy. So God is, his intent here is to strengthen us with his great power. This is the New Century Version. It says, God will strengthen you with his own great power, so that you will not give up when troubles come, but you will be patient. That's what we need. We need to be strengthened in this inside, in our inner person, so that when we face issues, you know, when you just think about your immune system, most of us don't even realize our immune system is active and working and guarding and protecting us from viruses and bacteria and all kinds of stuff. If you knew, you'd be like, oh my God. But God designed it. This body is operating all the time, and you didn't even know it. You see, same thing. Things are coming. If I have strength, you know, you just think about it. Think about things that you were all out of sorts of when you were a young person. And now you got a little bit older because you got some knowledge and some life experience, and all of a sudden you're looking going, what was I all out of sorts over that for? Why'd that bother me? Right? Well, now you got a little bit older. You know, you look at a four-year-old rolling around the floor crying because you didn't give him something. Right? Now, if you're doing that when you're 30, we have a problem. Right? But you get my point. The point is that once we learn and God gives us a greater understanding of his word, that when troubles come, I can walk through that. Secure in him, resting in him. It doesn't mean that fear might not try to grip our minds and our thoughts. But what are we talking about today? This inner man. I don't have anxiety inside. That's the key. The inner man has peace. See, if you let this inside person get anxious, then when you try to make sound, wise thoughts, sound, wise decisions, it's going to be difficult. So even though thoughts may come, anxious thoughts may come, when this heart is at peace and God is leading you, you can make wise choices. And that's what we're talking about, guarding this inner person, this real person, so that it's not anxious. It's not, you know, just all in a tizzy. Why? Because I'm in Christ. He's protecting me. He's guarding me. He's showing me what to do. Amen. We don't have to be afraid. Here's one other scripture here. Let's look at Proverbs 24. Talking about being Proverbs 24, verse 10. Talking about being strengthened and strength and so forth. I'm going to read this from the King James and then the New Living. Proverbs 24, it says, "If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy what is small? Thy strength is small." Now listen to this. This is God's word translation. It says, "If you faint in a crisis, you are weak." The New Living Translation, it says, "If you fail under pressure, your strength is too small." So it just means, what does that tell us? We need to guard our hearts. We need to protect them. That's the real you. That's the core. That's where wisdom comes from. That's where decision-making comes from. Yes, you're using your brain, the thought, the soulish area, but if this soulish area is not renewed, if it's, what does it say? If it's conforming to the world's way of doing something, then you're going to make some choices that may not be good choices, right? So we need to do what? Protect this heart, guard it at all costs so that we can make sure that this inner man is strong to get through what? The worst situations. With what? With joy. People look at you and go, "Why are you so happy? Why are you so joyful?" That's a perfect opportunity to share why you are, right? I don't have to be afraid. I don't have to be, just think about it. If we're spiritually sensitive, God will protect us. We don't have to wait until there's a problem. And then do what? React. Just like this pastor in China, God warned him, and he did what? He prayed for his congregants. He laid hands upon them. He was months ahead of that. So it's the same thing. If God knows you, and let's just say he knew maybe you were going to be laid off, do you think maybe the God that protects you and guards you, do you think he might warn you ahead of time? I think he would. I think he would. Sometimes we put ourselves in situations we may not be eating right. We may not be getting enough rest. And God may be saying to us, "Get some more rest." And you keep trucking. Yeah, right. I'm going. I'm moving. I'm too busy. I can't stop. And he's been nudging you, slow down, eat better, get some more rest, and then when something happens, you're going, "God." And he said, "Yeah, I've been trying to get your attention for the last 6 months." Right? So that's what I'm saying. Feed upon the word of God, but don't be so busy that we don't hear his directions, right? And we don't listen. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Amen. So guard our hearts. Take time. Feed upon the word of God. Make professions of faith. Confess Psalm 91. If something comes in your life, you say, "Oh, no, I'm not taking that." Now, does that mean you don't go get checkups and don't take meds? No, that's not what that means. If you need to do something naturally, do it. But you keep strengthening this inner man. Keep feeding this inner man because it will ultimately affect the outer. It'll affect this outer man. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you that we are being strengthened with might by your Spirit in our inner man. And we thank you that we do not have to fear. We don't have to be anxious, even though this world appears to be anxious about many things. But we thank you, Father, that you lead us and guide us by your word and by your Spirit. And we thank you that we can rest in you and we can face any issue and problem in life with strength and with joy and patience. And we thank you for it. Thank you for watching over us and protecting us. Thank you for speaking to us and guiding each one of us individually. And we thank you for it. Thank you for that you are our God. And we're so grateful for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. This is so real to me. I'm telling you, I've gone through life where, you know, we all know this. You get busy and you haven't fed enough spiritually. Each one of us, you know, always remember this, each one of us have different dietary needs spiritually, right? You may have a different dietary need than I do. If I'm teaching all the time, I've got to feed all the time to keep myself built up. You know, if you're a bodybuilder and you're doing what? You're exercising extremely all the time. You got to take in a lot of calories. I remember when Michael Phelps was you know, the Olympic athlete. This was a few years back. And he got those 8 gold medals and all that business. His training, they said he took in 12,000 calories a day. I just said 12,000. That's like crazy. He'd eat whole pies, hot. I mean, just stuff. You're looking at his diet and you're going, but he was swimming all day long, exercising all day long, giving out all day long. He wouldn't have been able to maintain. So his dietary needs were different than yours. You didn't exercise like he did. So it's the same thing. Spiritually, we may all have different needs spiritually, but we all need to feed. We all need to feed on the word and then exercise. What does that mean? Turn around and say, I will say of the Lord, he is my helper. He's my strength. He's my healer. He's my strengthener. In him I will trust. And you exercise and confess what you believe. The world's doing it. They're confessing what they believe. Right? Amen. Praise God. As they say, enough said. Let's feed on that and praise God. Well, let's stand. I don't think we have anything else. We don't have nothing else today. Praise God. Have a wonderful week. Stay in faith. Feed on the word. And be full of joy. And rest. Rest in God. Amen.